the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Well, the monster didn't move far. I can't remember whether or not we talked about this recently. Remember the bear that lived under the crawl space?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did I tell you what happened to it after it got scared away from that house?
No. We wondered if it tried to come back. It got shocked when it tried to come back, right?
Yeah, so it originally moved to, this happened in California, this big old bear moved into this guy's crawl space, named Ken Johnson, and has been under his house since at least April.
Wow.
It was removed successfully last week after an intervention by the Bear League, which is a Lake Tahoe-based nonprofit specializing in humane bear management.
Okay.
They also installed an electrified welcome mat.
That's what got him on the way
back. Seems to be a contradiction in terms. In the at the crawl space entrance to deter him from coming back. Yeah, so they placed all the sandbags in front of it and boarded it up, and then they put the electrified mat in front of it, and the bear did come back to start to try to get back in, steps on the electrified mat, and then jumped 50 feet in the air.
And after getting hit by all those paintballs and then that shocking mat,
yeah,
we just figured, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah,
I just want to sleep.
He decided that he had had about enough of old Ken Johnson's crawl space. So he moved on. He moved on. The bear is no longer trying to break into Ken Johnson's crawl space. However, about half a mile away, a family reported that they discovered a bear is now occupying their crawl space. So the thing only moved about half a mile away.
So what did it do? Rip off the skirt that's around their crawl space and just head in there?
Just went on in there. Why do bears like crawl spaces so much?
Well, saves them from having to look for a cave, I guess.
Why don't they just move into the home itself?
They would if they could.
Well, why can't they? If they can rip off doors to crawl spaces, they can rip off other doors.
I think we've had this dumb debate before. Can a bear open a door by the knob or the handle?
You mean, does it have the mental capacity to understand how a doorknob works?
And could his paw do it?
Does he have dexterity?
Yes.
No. No, I think on both accounts, the answer is no. I don't think that the bear, although...
So he'd have to knock first and then wait for them
to
open.
Well, he doesn't understand customs like that. I don't think that he has the dexterity to reach and grab a handle and then turn it, but he could friction turn it, just with the pad of his paw, and then turn it if he understood that you needed to turn it away from the door jamb in order to open.
But his mind says ripping door off easier.
Yeah. It's just knock down door. He didn't think about it. Now, I will say there are designs of doorknobs that they could much more easily open, which is the lever doorknob. Mm-hmm. If you have a lever doorknob, then it absolutely would make it much easier to do it. And I'll also say this, rather than just saying it, I want to preface it by telling you I'm about to say it. I know that my cats understand that the doorknob is somehow involved in opening doors.
Doorknob. Really?
Yes.
See?
They try to mess with the doorknob in order to get a door open.
That's wild.
So they watch you enough to make that connection.
Well, I bet a bear observes someone, if he's about to break into the crawl space, I bet he observes them opening that door.
I don't think bears observe people opening
doors. Going inside there has something
to
do with that little rectangle, and he knows the word rectangle, too.
No, he doesn't. There's zero chance that a bear understands the word rectangle. Now, a crow could understand it.
Smartest birds.
Yes.
I think you may overrate the crow's intelligence.
No way.
Don't let a crow hear you say that.
I know it. It's not just crows. It's also blue jays. They're in that corvid family. They're very smart birds. Don't mess with them.
Okay.
Now, I don't see them solving puzzles like I do crows. I see crows serving puzzles all the time.
At your house?
Yeah. I'll get home. One's doing a crossword on the front porch. Word searches. They're into all that stuff.
Huh.
Do you prefer word searches or crosswords?
Word search.
Yeah, it's easier.
Yeah.
So the bear moved in. Now, they don't know whether this is the exact same bear, but it probably is. Because
gotta be.
Yeah.
They say that he was wearing an old Joe Montana jersey, as we heard recently on the ticket. But it's for the Chiefs. The big old bear. And then this. A bad response to getting arrested in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. A 55-year-old woman who was a massage parlor employee. Is that too old to be a massage parlor employee? If it's one of those places?
What do you mean one of
right,
those
people
places?
People just go to get a massage.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
Okay. If that's what it is, then fine. There's no age limit on that.
No.
But you guys have known people who've gone to places that offer additional services, right?
Yes. I have a friend that has frequented these places. And it always finishes with a happy ending.
Oh.
He gets a legit massage,
so to speak.
Then he gets a happy ending.
There's no doubt that when he gets in his car at the end of every one of those, he cries before he leaves the parking lot and goes
I'll ask
home.
Him.
There has to be tremendous shame. Especially when you're driving out in broad daylight and put your sunglasses on because it's so bright outside. If you're doing that midday.
Now that I think about it, I've got a couple of friends.
What?
Who've gone to these places, and one of my buddies went with his brother.
Oh, the story keeps getting worse.
Little White Lotus-y.
Oh, man. Jeez. According to the Fort Walton Police Department, Fang Wang.
What?
Sorry?
Fang Wang.
That's the 55-year-old woman?
Yeah.
Fang Wang.
Yes.
All right.
She became aggressive during a routine health inspection at the Palms of Emerald Coast Massage Parlor on Beale Parkway. Wang began yelling at the Department of Health employee and attempted to force them out of the business when they were just doing a routine health check of the place.
She didn't like them being a health inspector. She wanted them to get out of the business completely.
Yes, right. So officers responded around noon, and when officers stepped in to detain her, she started defecating towards the officers.
What?
What do you mean?
What do you mean what I mean?
Towards them?
Yes, that's what it says. The police report says that she started defecating towards the officers to evade arrest. Is it kind of like a squid with ink? You know, it's to obscure her, give her a few seconds to get away. She was charged with battery on a Department of Health employee and resisting an officer. She also owns a place called the Classy Spa.
She sounds lovely.
She's being held without bond. We've had several news stories in which people involved in a conflict do this willfully. And I've never understood how some people walk around loaded and ready to go at any moment in case they get in a road rage incident or cops come in and try to take away their happy ending certificate.
So it has to be something in our DNA, and since we do not have squid ink or skunk stink or something to defend ourselves, that's what we default to?
I guess, but we've all been in a lot of conflicts, the three of us, right? You get in some altercation with somebody, a verbal altercation, everything.
Yeah, and I've never thought about that.
Never has occurred.
No.
But yet, we'll see these episodes. Remember that famous episode of that woman who was fighting with some other motorist at like a four-way stop sign, and she just walks over to the car, to the hood, the front of it, like where a hood ornament would be, drops her shorts, and just... It's kind of more cafe au lait colored.
Oh, man. You don't have to be that
legend.
And it was a mess of it. It wasn't full. It was a mixture of forms, it felt like, to me, in seeing the video.
Wow. Okay.
Have you watched it?
No.
You need to see it. You
need to
Google that, and you really need to watch that.
No, don't.
Where you can understand this news story about a massage parlor
more
a little bit better.
Attention.
I don't think they want attention for it. I think she was regretful afterwards. She said she made a mistake.
I made a mistake.
She just simply made a mistake.
Okay.
But, yeah, this is what the woman did to try to get out of it with police. And I've attempted to FOIA the body cam footage of this.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can post it on the Musers, the podcast, social media pages. I think it's
okay.
Real important to do. I'm trying to get that done for Christmas.
Well, you're a little late.
Hey,
well,
what
way early.
Oh. What all can you do with FOIA? Can you request anything you want?
I don't know.
You know what FOIA stands for, George?
No.
Freedom of Information Act?
I believe so, yes. I've made one FOIA request.
You have?
Yes, and I can't remember what it was for. I wonder if I did it for some of my own body cam footage and one of my various interactions.
Green Bay?
He
didn't have a body cam on him, did he?
That was 98?
Jerry?
97?
Jerry Perrin?
Oh, way to go. He was the head of security at Lambeau Field. You know, I found the papers from that incident relatively recently. It showed what I had in my pocket at the time. You know, when they give you your possessions back, they give you the inventory of that. It gave me the code of conduct that they expected for me in jail. It may have listed Quincy's full name, who I was in there with.
Your cellmate.
Yeah, my cellmate.
What did you have in your pocket? Like a quarter and a rubber?
What? No, I don't carry around rubbers. I'm a bareback guy, man.
Radio superstar.
But yeah, I found all that stuff. And I think it was November of 97? Six.
It's about right, somewhere in there.
No, it was 97. November of 97 is when it was. My only time I got arrested. If you
that
had told me
right,
then,
yeah.
If you told me then that I would go the next 400 years without getting arrested, I would have thought that's crazy. I thought something's going to happen with my crazy, wacky radio career in which there will be another arrest. And I was involved with the police after that. And I found that paperwork too, which
you
was
were.
Me filing a police report for assault against another broadcaster from a Baltimore station.
Yeah. Nasty. Nasty Nestor.
Who had assaulted my person.
Did the late, great Gil Santos actually touch you, or did he just threaten you verbally?
He just threatened me verbally.
He called you a punk. And
he called me, he said, quote, "You are never going to get anywhere in this business being a punk and a smartass."
And your response was?
I think I've changed the way I've done things in the past 5 years. I don't think you're recognizing that.
No, it was.
And Gil was a legend, and I was probably being a punk and a smartass. He was right there. He was wrong in the fact that I wouldn't get anywhere in the business being that. So, yes.
But you thanked him for the professional advice.
I thanked him for the professional advice.
Thanks for the professional advice, Gil.
And I traveled to his home in his retirement and showed him what a Marconi looked like.
Which,
Wow.
By the way, it was November 23rd, 1997. The Packers beat the Cowboys that weekend, 45-17, behind a big game from Dorsey Levens.
Dorsey Levens.
That's a very Summerallish name. Yeah. So, yes, thank you, Gil Santos, who is not related to the Green Bay incident at all. That was in New Orleans, I believe, is when we ran into Gil Santos.
Yeah.
The end.